Blog Talk Radio.
The Emotion Picture.
Tonight we're going to be talking about bondage, stuff that, BDSM. Mm-hmm. So, I think you've got a little bit of experience in this, and we've got a nice bunch of questions from some gentlemen out there who want to know all about jet setting, Jasmine's fetishes in regards to bondage.
I don't think those questions are exactly directed towards me. I think they are general questions.
I think they're directed towards you. I think it's already well known out there that I enjoy tying women up in all kinds of numerous ways. I feel like rejoining the Boy Scouts just to learn some new knots to use in the bedroom.
That is where men must learn some of these things, huh?
I wasn't a Boy Scout. I learned that just from trial and error, honestly.
Okay. Okay.
I think the best thing I ever did, I just want to share this real quick. I just have to say that the bed that I had, I specifically purchased it for fucking. It's comfortable. It's comfortable, but the height that it has, it's perfect for my favorite position. We spoke about that in a previous show.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have
the archives for that.
Yes, absolutely, catch up. And I also have, metal bars instead of like a regular wooden headboard.
Okay.
So I had this young lady tied up, pretty much spread eagle. I had her arms on each side of the bed, and then I tied her legs up to my free weight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and basically when I would roll, it was like, I have some dumbbells, and when I would roll the dumbbell over, it would make it tighter for her.
Okay.
So it would open her legs up more. It was, I don't know what inspired me to do this, but she deserved it. That's all I know. And I feel like that was one of my masterpieces right there.
Okay. So let me ask, that sounds very creative. Now, when you say that she deserved it, pleasing. So she was being bad, okay. But did she get pleasure out of this, or this was purely for your pleasure?
Oh, no, she definitely enjoyed it. She definitely enjoyed it. She was into all of that.
Okay. So was it the end?
But before we get any deeper, let me just read the definition of bondage in regards to BDSM.
Okay.
Bondage is the tying, binding, or restraining of a person for the sexual, aesthetic, and or psychological pleasure of the parties involved. Rope, cuffs, bondage tape, self-adhesive bandages, or other restraints may be used for this purpose. Bondage may be used as an end into itself, as in the case of rope bondage and breast bondage. It may also be used as a part of sex or in conjunction with other BDSM activities. I enjoyed just reading that.
I know. I enjoyed listening to it. So, wait, let's go back to this visual I have of this person, spread eagle, with the weights at her feet. And, okay, so what else went on? You didn't just, like, okay, you just tied her up and
fumbled
her, or?
Oh, no. Okay, so she was wearing, like, a full body net. I don't know. That's lingerie, right? A body net?
Yes, it is. Very familiar with those. Mm-hmm.
Yo, I love those things. I love those. I have this thing with all lingerie, undergarments, women's clothes in general. I enjoy taking them off.
Okay.
I feel like clothes look better on the floor, hanging from a ceiling fan.
Or any
random other place that I throw them.
Okay.
It's like unwrapping a package, like a present for me. So I had her blindfolded, and I spent a lot of time teasing her. And she's like one of those kind of women that she's like, she jumping trying to get it in. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, she's into foreplay or whatever, but she definitely is like, yo, bang it out. So I wanted to keep taking her to the edge and keep taking her to a place where, like, that little twitch that the lip makes when you feel like you're about to get it, and then just stop right there.
You are so cruel.
I think the more you do that, the better it feels when you actually put it in.
Yeah, that builds up anticipation. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So.
Well,
I got some freaky tendencies. I don't think you've really spoken on it too much on the show, but so basically, I have, like, katanas, and I was cutting off parts of her body stocking with the katana. And she enjoyed it. She was saying, like, the sword was just a little bit cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the rush of, like, oh, shit, I hope he doesn't cut off my nipple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she enjoyed that. I enjoyed it. Once again, I have no idea what inspired me to do this, but I'm glad I did it.
I'm glad you did it, too, just to be able to share it with us tonight. And I hope that you let her listen to this so that she can relive that moment.
I think I'm going to forward this to her when we go live with it. Just also real quick for people who are unfamiliar with BDSM, I just wanted to break some things down for them real quick. I'm sure most people have heard of S&M, which is sadism, and I can never say this word. Can you say the word? Masochism. There you go. Yeah, sadism and masochism. Okay, D&D is bondage and discipline, and the D can also stand for dominance, and yes, can also be submission. So it's broken down as bondage and discipline, domination and submission, and sadism and masochism. You have a top who is the dominant, also known as the satyr, a partner who carries out the activity. The bottom, the submissive, the masochist, is a partner who receives the activity. And a switch is a person who can be either or. Now, I know me personally, I am a sadist. I am very dominant. What about you?
I think I am mostly submissive, but something tells me there's a switch in me.
So what turns that switch on? What takes you from being submissive to being dominant?
That's a really good question. It's I have to know that I have to be taken seriously by that person. I have to know that I can get away with it, so to speak. There has to be a certain level of trust. I don't like being asked questions. I don't like...
Is that because I just asked you one now?
No, not at all. In this situation,
we're going to end this show quick. There's a whole bunch of questions. There's a whole bunch of questions for you tonight.
No, the reason... Like, there has to be... With men, a lot of men, you know, don't like to be dominated by a woman. And to me, it's a total... It kills it for me when they can't, they won't allow me to do what it is I need to do. Like, they, you know, are not, they won't submit. So they have to be willing. Otherwise, it's just, you know, it's just a fight, and I don't like the struggle. So.
Well, I mean, can't really have two dominants stuck in the same position. I mean, unless you add a third to that situation.
Yeah.
Two dominant people creates too much of a power struggle. I could agree with that. I can definitely agree with that.
And for me, it's not even like, you know, it doesn't even have to be in that very moment. It's like that switch won't come on at all if I don't feel like this person is going to allow me to. You know, and I think a lot of people don't understand that about dominating and submissiveness, is that both parties have to completely agree. It's not that someone just can come in and dominate you. You have to be willing to, you know, you have to submit. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, mostly I'm most comfortable being submissive. I spend too much of my day dominating everything. So it's kind of nice to let go and let someone else lead. See where they'll take you.
Okay, well, that actually answered our first question from New York. Was, during bondage, do you like to be in control or get controlled? So
yeah, that answered it.
That answered our first question. And it was actually a two-part question. The other part of the question was, what's a person's limit on bondage? I say... One of our usual go-to responses is you have to communicate with your partner.
Right.
You know, some people are into light bondage, like they might let you tie up their wrists or something like that, but don't want all four limbs tied up. Some people don't want to fully lose control of their own body. So you definitely have to speak to someone first about that. You don't want to just have them walk in and you tie them up to a chair or something like that, that can be mistaken for kidnapping.
Right.
So, you know, light, you could start light if you don't know what your partner's limits are. You could start light with blindfold or tying up the wrist, even handcuffs on the wrist. But when you get into things like ball gags or tape over the mouth and things like that, you definitely have to be with somebody who knows that they are into bondage. That's not something you want to jump into the first time.
Absolutely. And I think communicating quite a bit during, I think that people kind of have this perception that, like, once you're in once you're in the act of, you know, being going through this experience of bondage, that you just allow this person to dominate all the way through. But my experience has been someone that is very good at being being into bondage is going to check in with you throughout, making sure that you haven't reached your limit, or, you know, that what they're doing is okay. And there's a way to do that and still be very intense and sensual and sexual about it without, you know, without breaking character, but still checking in on your partner. So, all good stuff.
Absolutely.
What else do we
have? Our next question comes from Georgia. If a person would like to try it, what are ways they can convince their mate?
See, I don't like the word convince. Well, one of the things, I mean, just talking about it, I think that that's important. And, you know, perhaps showing different images or introducing, like you mentioned, some light, you know, light bondage. Instead of maybe jumping to the handcuffs, you use a tie, you know, or even use a tie as a blindfold, or, you know, something like that, something that's easy that they can remove. And just seeing, you know, how did you enjoy it? Do you think if, you know, we did a blindfold and, you know, tied your hands above your head, do you think that you would enjoy that? I mean, just really communicating. I can't think of any other way that I would want to be approached besides that. I wouldn't want to be convinced. I would want to be a part of
it. Yeah, you definitely don't want to be the nagging partner, like, hey, can I tie you up today? Can I tie you up today? You know, that's not the best way to go about it. I definitely think spark the conversation. You know, it's not something that's so taboo. I doubt, you know, when people experiment with things like that and know if they're into something like that pretty early on in sexual experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even before you get to bond, it's like some women like to have their hands held down and things like that. So, you know, that's a precursor to bondage, if you will.
Good point. So start slow, talk about it, and don't convince them. Welcome them. It just seems so conniving.
All right. We're going to go to Boston now.
Okay. I'm still having this visual, just so you know.
Which visual is that?
Of you and your partner. I'm like, okay, halfway down, you know, down her chest, cutting off the fishnet. Was it fishnet?
It was like... Yeah, fishnet is when it's a little more spaced out, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's fishnet.
Okay, we can go to the next question.
All right. So how do you come up with the safe word? If you like bondage, does that mean you like both submission and control?
Hmm.
So I guess that's a two-part question. For the safe word, I'll just say usually it's best if you have something that's completely random.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to, some people, when they're into it, no means yes, yes means no, stop means go, all that good stuff. So usually you'll want to have one word that, you know, if it's, I don't know, What's your safe word? Just
you know, I'm so terrible at this, but I'm not very good with the whole safe word thing.
You don't need a safe word, huh?
I've never used it, or I forgot what it was and just was like, hell, keep going.
What did you say for argument's sake? Let's just say privacy, okay?
What is it? Say
no
again.
Frisbee.
Okay, frisbee. Okay.
All right, frisbee. Now, if somebody says frisbee in the middle of your amazing sexual experience, which obviously isn't amazing for them anymore because they're calling out for the safe word.
Right, right.
You hear frisbee, you're like, what the fuck? You know, that'll take you out of whatever zone you're in. For some people, you know, bondage and submission and all this is role play.
Right.
So when you're in this particular role play, you know, when you get a little more sophisticated with it and everything, some people have fantasies where they, where, like I said, no means yes and stop
mm-hmm.
means go. So you want to have something that has nothing to do with your role play. So that way it'll bring you back to reality real quick.
Good point. Frisbee, that's my new word.
Don't be using that word.
I mean, what? Shoot, if you hear me yell frisbee from across the room, you need to come and see what's going on. I think I want you to know my safe word. I think I want the world to know. If you get a text that says frisbee, come see about me.
That's good.
Okay, say it again.
All the men in Florida running to your rescue whenever you say frisbee. You're not even going to be in a sexual situation. Come rescue you.
It's my safe word. Any situation, frisbee, come for me, please. So the next question was, if you like bondage, does that mean you're into both submission and control? No, actually it doesn't. Kind of just like we talked about a little bit earlier, that some folks are the ones that like to do the tying up and the bondage, and some like to be bound, and then there are those who it can go either way. So when a person says that they're into bondage, you know, your next question should be, or a part of the discussion should be, what part of the bondage are you into? Because if a man tells me that he's into bondage, and, you know, the first thing I do is go to handcuff him to, you know, the bedpost, that may not turn out very well for me. Yeah, and that could be a big shocker to men as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you definitely want to know if the person you are dealing with is more dominant, submissive, or what side of the rope they want to be on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So our next question comes from your state, Florida.
Okay.
Once you are tied up, how tight should the bondage be?
Okay, that's a good question. Well, you're the expert in this department, so do share.
Well, when I'm tying someone up, I definitely want to ask her if I'm cutting off her circulation, if it's too tight isn't the problem. Tight is okay, but you don't want to be so tight that they're going to lose feeling in their extremities. Because that'll get a frisbee call real quick. You know, so everybody's different, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people enjoy that feeling and enjoy that pain of getting to the point where it feels like their circulation is cut off. So that's another reason where your safety word has to come into play, because if it gets to the point where they can't feel their hands anymore, you're going to have to loosen it up.
Absolutely.
Because you also have, you know, I mean, since we're talking about BDSM and all, there are some people who get turned on from asphyxiation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you always have to make sure that your partner is okay. You have to make sure they're comfortable. You don't, that's something there that if you go too far, they ain't going to turn it back.
Right.
So
and I just,
you have to make sure they're all right.
To mention that there's really a skill, you know, there's a skill set that's involved in bondage. You know, any of the light stuff that we're talking about, I think everyone could, as long as you're checking in with your partner, can be pretty successful at that. But when we start talking about things like, you know, stopping breathing and using certain types of contraptions, you know, strongly suggest that you consult with a professional.
Absolutely.
Hey, even starting with Jet Setting Jasmine, King and I, we do different types of workshops and consultations. So, you know, he's your guy for questions on a higher level about bondage. But just, I mean, I know we're getting close to the end of our segment, but I just want to go back to the visual, if you don't mind.
Oh, before you do that, I just wanted to say for everyone listening, we do have a product. It is bondage tape, which is a very good start because it's only adhesive to itself. So the tape only sticks to itself, and you don't have to worry when you're taking the tape off that it's going to take off a patch of your skin or anything like that. And if need be, and somebody ties you up, you would be able to get out of it yourself, if need be.
Hi.
So, you know, I think, just like you said, if you're starting off, if you're a novice with it, definitely, you know, take baby steps. You don't want to jump into some of the more dangerous aspects of it without knowing what you're doing. So, back to the visual for you.
Yeah, thanks for that. So let's see. You're, like, about at her navel now?
Yes.
How long is this lasting? How long?
I didn't have any clocks available at the time.
Mm-hmm.
No, I like to take my time with things like that. So.
Okay. So was she like?
She was definitely, the part that turned me on the most was, whereas in the beginning it started off, oh, what are you doing? It changed from her talking to just her breathing.
Oh.
And her breathing is very, I don't know how to explain it. It was.
You don't have
what's
to.
What's that? Baby breath? Baby breath. That's what I was saying.
Yeah. To be a fly on the wall. Okay. Do we have any other questions?
I think we have one more. Hold on.
Okay.
Last one, also from Florida. Is the one tied up even expected to have an orgasm?
Well, it sounds like from the example that you're sharing with us tonight that she was pretty turned on. Do you think that she could have been turned on to the point of an orgasm?
I'm pretty sure that of the few that she had, she definitely had a couple. And it was before I let her get free in any kind of way.
Before penetration?
Yeah, we did a couple things before penetration.
Are you holding back on me right now?
I'm not holding back on you right
now.
I didn't know how much.
Is this your week?
I didn't know how detailed I was supposed to get in this particular example.
Well,
I mean, there were a lot of things that I did to tease her and simultaneously please her at the same time. You know, after I was done cutting off her clothes, I used my hands, I used my tongue on places where I cut off her body net. But I kept it tied up even with penetration and all of that. I didn't want her to go nowhere.
She wasn't going anywhere. Nice, though.
She wasn't going anywhere even if she wanted to.
So we are in the last 10 seconds of the show. Thank you so much, King, for sharing that. And thanks, guys, for sending in these questions. Remember, your safe word is Frisbee. Reach out to us at jetsettingjasmine.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram and all those other great places online at jetsettingjasmine and the King Noir on Instagram.
Yeah.
And remember, you can find all
this is a renaissance. A renaissance for the ultimate in love. You have been listening to the Mile High Club. This is King Noir, Jet Setting Jasmine. Come fly with us again sometime soon, y'all. Later.
Good night.